Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for Below Grade Level. Let's talk about our crushes and have some fun.
Hello and welcome to Below Grade Level, the show where we take the books that we read as kids and read them as adults and ruin them. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Eaton. With me as always is Becca Eaton.
Hello.
And Chris Zaleski.
Hello.
Hi. Earlier...
Chris, you look like you're contemplating.
I am. It didn't match the voice at all.
No, it didn't.
He did not.
You usually go really low with
yeah.
it.
I look like I'm pondering the orb.
Well, and also, you're in a robe, and before we started recording, I was like, oh, Chris is in his podcast outfit, and then I was like, oh, wait, no, that's just what he looks like when he's home. He just wears a robe.
I was about to ask if that's a plush robe yeah. that you've it's, got on there.
It's my house coat.
And that voice you're hearing is our guest for tonight's episode, returning champion Joe Marshall. Hi!
Hi!
How are you?
I almost went very shrill and brought it right back down because I've heard myself on this podcast before.
I'm so happy to be here!
I mean, hi!
Heavens to Murgatroyd!
Oh, man. We talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but just for the listener, Joe, have you ever read or heard of the book series Fearless by Francine Pascal?
I have never read nor heard of it, although is it Pascal?
I don't know.
I
keep saying it.
Pascal the Rascal.
Pascal the Rascal. That did
rascal.
Ring a bell, which Becca reminded me was Sweet Valley High, which I don't know if I even actually read Sweet Valley High or it was just... in the zeitgeist, but yeah, I did not know she had a different
series.
Yeah.
Well, and in remembering these books, I did not remember at all that it was her that wrote them.
Yeah, that was a fun surprise.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, our friend Francine. R.I.P. Becca, you want to catch Joe and the listeners up on what happened last time on Fearless?
Sure. So Gaia goes to Heather's friend's party that Ed kind of makes her go to. She starts to talk to people for like a few minutes and is like, oh, maybe I can be normal and have friends like a person.
Yeah.
But then Heather shows up and is mean to her and then she just leaves. So.
Yep.
Yeah. She goes to the chess park where she runs into the chess hottie, whose name is Sam Moon.
Classic. Chess hotties.
Man.
Yeah, both of them about each other are like, that person's too hot to play chess.
Yes.
They both like doubt each other being good at chess because of their attractiveness.
They both underestimate each other in chess to the point where their game lasts so long that they're in a full-on downpour.
Yeah. So they're outside playing sexy rain chess. Gaia is being incredibly awkward. I didn't write specifically why, but she's been awkward this whole book, so it's pretty easy to imagine.
Yeah, awkward.
They make a lot of eye contact, but don't really talk about anything at all. And then she just, like, knocks her little chess piece over and, like, forfeits the game and literally runs away.
That whole chess, sexy rain chess scene was, like, simultaneously... riveting and super boring.
Yes. Nothing happened, and it was the largest part of the last.
Most boring boner I ever had.
What is happening? She walks around with Ed for a little bit for some reason, where they again see a band that is called Fearless.
I forgot about that.
Because she had heard them in the coffee shop where she spilled that coffee on Heather, and they had some lyrics about being fearless. And then she like walks past where they're practicing, and Ed tells her about them. And she's like, oh my god, I can't believe there's a band called Fearless. And he's like, yeah, whatever.
Who cares?
And then nothing happens about it.
Yeah, they don't go in.
Yeah.
So dumb.
What's the point?
Maybe it'll come back up.
I hope
Who
it
knows?
Comes back up.
Then we find out that Sam is dating Heather. He seems unhappy in the relationship. For whatever. I didn't write down details.
She's not good enough at chess.
Yeah.
Deep and interested.
Gaia tries to get some Nazis to fight her in the park, but since they were told by the mystery woman not to fight her, they just leave her alone, and she gets really annoyed because she wants to fight someone because she's bloodthirsty. then she runs into Heather, and just kind of leaves Heather to the mercy of the Nazis and runs into Heather's friends and tells them all to avoid that area. So Heather's just alone with some Nazis, which kind of sucks. Like, Gaia kind of sucks a little bit.
Would you call that... And I feel like in the last episode, she also went into, like, how she's aware that she has a problem with, like, wanting to fight people.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I know it's not good.
Yeah.
But I really want to fight people. Would you say that that move, like, letting Heather walk into the park to maybe a 50-50 chance of being slashed by a Nazi without telling her, is, like, a... Would that be chaotic neutral? Or would that be...
I don't know where you're getting 50-50 from, because to me it seems like a 100% chance
I
of
just
getting...
Like they might not see her.
But you don't know her odds. You don't know her stealth stats.
Yeah.
What if she's... Do we know that Heather is not also a Nazi?
Oh, she
we
is...
We don't know.
We don't know.
She might be the leader. We don't know.
Shit.
No. What a twist that would be.
But yeah, no. Guy is a psychopath.
Yeah.
Yeah. She, I mean, I don't, I think that's definitely an evil thing to do.
So maybe, like, evil neutral?
I think even if you were, like, oh, I don't know.
Because all I'm saying is, all I'm thinking neutrality-wise is, like, she's not directly causing
it,
but it's also, like, she could prevent it very
lawful
easily.
Evil, maybe?
Lawful, yeah, maybe.
I don't
know. Because technically, yeah. Do we know why... There's such a Nazi problem, like, I mean, not that there isn't, you know, one, but, like...
We don't know, and they keep talking about slashings. There's a lot of slashings in New York at this time period.
Oh, dear.
Which, I guess, is just people slashing people with a knife and running away. We were trying to figure out what slashing meant, because it doesn't seem like a bunch of murders.
No.
But it seems like a shitload of violence and, like, a higher-than-average amount of Nazis.
And not like there's not violence in cities, but it's just, it is funny to me for it to be, like, 1999 New York. I'm like, that feels more like an 80s New York thing, like when the city was way more dangerous. Like, I feel like New York was a lot safer in, like, the late 90s. I wouldn't necessarily think there would be, like, roving gangs of neo-Nazis, like, trying to slash people.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering, why Nazis? Like, what? And, like, if she's spoiling for a fight, surely there's lots of people from lots of demographics that would be interested in fighting. I wonder why.
It really seems like it's only this big, like, Nazi gang.
Yeah.
It's like
some
of the same people over and over.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's the New York of the first Ninja Turtles movie. Just crime everywhere.
Well, and I was also thinking, it's like, this was back when it was, like, we were quainter and maybe a little less, I don't know, more naive, I guess, about the Nazi problem in America, where it's like, Nazis are an easy bad guy because they don't really exist anymore and we all hate them.
Yeah.
right, exactly. And, like, they're just, like, very simply going out slashing everybody because they're just evil.
Because they're just evil.
Yeah.
And then you beat
and
them
how
up
could you
and that's
be mad
that.
About beating up Nazis.
We all agree.
We all
Everyone
agree.
Everyone agrees that they're
we
evil.
We all
right?
agree. Yeah.
Collectively, as, like, a planet.
Yeah.
I think even the Nazis agree.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, let's find out what happens this time on Fearless. Also, these chapters aren't numbered. They're just named, which is confusing.
It's very avant-garde.
This chapter is called Ed. Oh, my God. My jaw just cracked when I said the word Ed.
Ouch.
And the first word is bolded. Okay. Sometimes I dream I'm skating. Not a ramp or half pipe like one of those Mountain Dew commercials. My feet are planted on a board.
Like at the X Games.
You like at the X Games. Like at those new X Games.
Yeah.
My feet are planted on a board and I'm steaming along straight and steady. That's how skaters talk, right?
Steaming
along.
You gotta steam that board.
That's what Tony Hawk does. First, it's maybe a sidewalk and then a street, and then it becomes a highway of at least 4 lanes. Then the board transforms into an airplane, and I'm in the cockpit. It's a passenger plane, I guess, but I'm not aware of having responsibility for any passengers. I have this sense of excitement and anticipation as I accelerate, gaining intense, powerful speed. Fast, fast, faster! I feel sure I've passed that speed you need to leave the ground. But I'm still on the highway. I'm still zooming past houses and fields and forests.
And when I wake up, my sheets are wet.
I have a reoccurring nightmare. Not all the time, but it's just like every once in a while this happens. Where I'm in a car, usually, and I'm going too fast, like down a highway or something, like so fast that there's no way to control the car. And I usually wake up because, like, I start to crash.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's my nightmare is this dream that he is describing, but like he's describing it in like a fun way, and it's just making me think of like,
yeah, this sounds exciting.
Well, like I thought a sick he was talking of, about yeah. like a daydream, and then it turned into like, oh, I guess that's a real dream because that sounds weird now.
Yeah.
Now, is this the chapter name is Ed? So are we? Is it? Does this book jump from POV to POV? Like, are we? It is it Ed?
Yes. Because
this is Ed's point yeah. of view for this chapter? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And, like, okay. It even jumped to the POV of the chess hottie. So, like
in a chapter, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it could be anyone at any time.
And it's not always first person.
Yeah, it doesn't really? Always oh. tell you either who it's oh. going to be. You kind of just have to figure it out.
Yeah, it's indiscriminate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exciting.
There's also like little interstitials that'll be like a sneak peek of what's going to happen in the next chapter, but they're yeah. unexplained. It's almost like a the An tween version of House of Leaves. An episode of Frasier?
Yeah, where it'll have
I
a quote
from... I
forgot
they did that on Frasier.
We just said such different things. Yeah, that's
House of Leaves / Frasier, the two most sort of yeah. similar references that are commonly made.
For the scene, we're going to put a quote on the screen.
Oh my god, I would love to get Frasier's perspective on House of Leaves. Like, Frasier and Niles' opinions on House of Leaves.
Oh.
You know, it's like Frasier and House of Leaves.
I always think that when I think of one or the other.
That Venn diagram is a circle.
Holy shit. Okay. The highway bends slowly into a curve. It curves again. I become conscious of road signs. Deer crossing. Boulders falling. You know those. I've never seen a boulder falling sign.
I have. Yeah,
on the way to Deep Creek.
Oh, wait, really?
Mm-hmm.
No, I take it back.
Well, you're usually driving and looking at the road.
Yeah, I don't
look
at
staring
signs.
Out the window like me.
The only
Shouldn't
signs I ever
at the signs.
I guess he kind of just looks straight ahead.
The only signs I ever notice when we're driving to Deep Creek is where it says accident bear.
Yeah.
The deer falling sign. The boulders crossing.
Deer falling. Boulders crossing. Deer falling. I realize I have adjusted my speed from about 1,000,000 miles an hour to just a few above the speed limit. That's a deceleration. I peer into the side mirror of my airplane to check for cops. I don't think it...
You know, the sky cops. Side.
Yeah. After a while, it's a foregone conclusion that I won't be taking off. Just a plain fact like any of the others we learned to live with. I'll be following signs on the highway in my jumbo jet built to fly 35,000 feet above our blue earth.
Well, here's one of those interstitials.
Is this really the next page?
Yes!
No peace. And she followed them through the exit, distinctly aware of the huge cloud of hate behind her.
What?
Okay, so you were not kidding about House of Leaves.
Yeah.
What the fuck just happened?
And okay. Frasier.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
An angry place. Before he passed through the school entrance the next morning, Ed knew there was something wrong. The halls were extra crowded, but not loud enough. Kids were gathered in little clots held together by hushed voices. A lot of eyes were darting around. The air had that heightened energy... That guilty pleasure of tragedy. Jesus
Christ.
Ugh. This is pre-9/11.
I know it is. What's going on? He asked the first person he came to, a vaguely familiar girl with a magenta crew cut. God, it's so scary, she said. He could tell.
Street Fighter? What?
Crew cut.
He could tell she was trying to rein herself in to project the right amount of sobriety. Heather Gannis got shot in Washington Square last night.
Oh, my God.
She's in the ICU at St. Vincent's.
She got shot?
Forget slashings.
Yeah.
I know. We have escalated.
Oh, Jesus, Ed muttered. That sick, zingy feeling, as if his blood were suddenly carbonated, started under his stomach and spread through his limbs. Do they know who did it? The girl was already gone. She just dropped that bomb and sprinted away.
She's like, I gotta tell everyone.
Just Batman's away. So he wheeled up to the nearest group. Okay, cool. Now I can't see.
What? Sorry.
What happened? Who did it? Is she going to be okay? He burst in loudly. He didn't feel like being measured and coy. The five faces above him were practically caricatures of gravity. The police claim they have suspects, but there hasn't been an arrest, a black-haired girl answered. I'm so glad we are getting everyone's hair color.
Hair color.
Really helping
me. What's the haircut?
I don't know yet. Nobody knows exactly what happened. They think it was some kind of gang activity. This white supremacist group connected to the slashings.
Slashing?
But it was a shooting, he argued.
Drink every time they say slashing.
No, it wasn't. It was a stabbing, a guy said. A stabbing? Ed asked. At least two of them nodded. She's in ICU, Ed continued, feeling impatient. He needed this information to slow his speeding heart. He actually cared about the facts and their implications, unlike most of the rumor mongers.
In a coma, another girl added. He sighed in frustration. We're talking about Heather? Black-haired girl's face closed in annoyance. Obviously, she snapped. Ed wheeled away, shaking his head. He had a feeling that if he talked to every one of the groups in the hallway, he would get a slightly different story from each. This was surreal and terrifying. Heather wasn't the kind of girl who got shot or stabbed or stepped into a hospital for any reason but to visit her grandmother after elective surgery. What a sentence.
What? Even her grandmother doesn't get sick? Ah. Yeah. She just gets a mole removed.
He couldn't help but think of Heather's parents and sisters. His experience on Mercer Street with Gaia came back to him in full detail. The knife, the fear, the chaos. How had the world become so malignant? New York City was transforming from the eccentric but comfortable place where he'd grown up into the dangerous, angry place he'd always heard about.
Attention, students.
Principal Hickey's voice came blasting through the loudspeaker.
There will be an all-school assembly this morning directly after homeroom. Attendance is mandatory.
Even the principal's solemnity sounded phony and exaggerated. Ed wheeled slowly to homeroom, his mind ricocheting from big, appropriate thoughts about crime and death and police investigations to weird, little, inappropriate thoughts, like whether Heather was wearing one of those hospital gowns that tied in the back. And if so, who had undressed her?
Ew!
What?
A doctor!
Then, it was a nurse.
Yeah, you're right.
Then he felt guilty about having that second category of thoughts and tried not to have them, which took
good.
Up a certain amount of mental energy in itself. He was sitting
in home. You poor guy.
Oh, to be a teenager again. He was sitting in homeroom trying not to have any thoughts at all when he overheard Gaia's name mentioned.
He didn't turn because he didn't want to disrupt the conversation. Gaia Moore saw what? Asked Becca Miller, a girl with long, super curly hair. Mm. Super curly is one word. Who always sat behind him. So much hair information. I'm like, so like interested in this. She saw the guy with the knife in the park, responded Samantha something, a friend of Becca's, in a voice hushed but intoxicated with the thrill of conveying important information. But we don't know what kind of hair she had, which is upsetting. What are you talking about? Becca asked. Gaia was in the park just a few minutes before Heather got slashed. Slashed! And she saw the guys who did it. Tell me you're kidding. How do you know this? Becca demanded. Tina Lynch told Carrie she was with Brian and Melanie last night and they saw Gaia right outside the park. Gaia told Tina she'd just seen Heather going into the park. But Gaia warned
my brain
Tina.
Turned off.
I don't know.
That was too many names. My brain clicked right off.
Oh my God.
But Gaia warned Tina and those other guys not to go into the park, that she'd just seen a guy with a knife. Ed's mind was spinning with the number of names and personal pronouns, but also, well, I'm against pronouns.
Oh no, so. He's anti-pronoun.
Too many haircuts, too.
But also with the ramifications of what he was hearing. Gaia was involved. Of course she was. If trouble was magnetic north, then Gaia's head was a huge chunk of iron.
You know, wow. That common phrase.
Wow. And this is art. The short time Ed had known her, he'd almost gotten killed, watched three thugs get demolished, witnessed two catfights, seen one slashing victim's family crying on the news, and now learned his ex-girlfriend was in a coma.
I think
we knew that because he mentioned how they went out before his accident.
Oh.
And we also don't know.
I forgot
to
write it down.
Oh, little hussy.
I only just remembered.
Ed, you mean? Yeah.
Of course. Of course Gaia was there. How could it be otherwise? But what had she done exactly? He couldn't trust these girls or really
Nothing.
Anybody.
That's the problem.
But Gaia to tell him what had happened. And Gaia would give him the unvarnished truth. He and Gaia were alike in that way.
She's lied to him a lot. She very specifically won't tell him information.
He barely knows her.
She's been to school for one day.
Yeah.
They both took special satisfaction in telling you the one true thing you really, really didn't want to hear.
What a fun personality trait.
This chapter is called A Smelly Monster. Gaia hadn't paid much attention to all the whispering at first. She had learned to be good at ignoring it. In her experience, whispering either, one, didn't include her, or two, was about her. Yep, that's...
Probably
I guess
both.
The only,
probably
that's
both.
The, that's
yeah.
the two
yeah.
things.
I think it would be one and two.
And in neither case could she take part. So it wasn't until the assembly that she had heard the news.
As many of you know, a tragedy befell our school community last night.
That's just what he sounds like. That's not because
he
of the
sounds like
the
speaker.
He sounds
like
a loudspeaker.
Yeah, yeah. That's just what he sounds like. Principal Hickey intoned to the enormous, totally silent all-school assembly. Gaia should have known right then that something was seriously wrong by the simple fact that people were actually listening to the guy.
Heather Gaddis was slashed in Washington Square Park last night. She lost a great deal of blood before she was discovered by friends and fellow students. She is in critical condition at St. Vincent's Hospital. I know you all joined me in sending Heather and her family our...
He kept talking, of course. Ugh! That sucks.
Are you okay?
No, too old to do that.
to hold your nose.
Yeah. Too old to hold my nose.
My sinuses! He kept talking, of course, but Gaia didn't hear. An ugly, evil creature with smelly fur and sharp fangs was gnawing on her intestines, and that was hard to ignore.
I'm taking that literally.
There was a werewolf also.
Why is it smelly?
I don't know.
That's
what?
It. That's
Maybe
it.
It
Good
smells
point.
Like fear.
Yeah.
But yeah.
She wouldn't know, would she?
She wouldn't. That's what it sounds like. Her thoughts from the previous night return to her word for word. Her thoughts from the previous night returned to her word for word. And those thoughts were... Let the stupid girl get slashed. If anybody deserved it, Heather did.
Jesus.
That is what she thought, though. And
yeah,
I remember
that was
thinking,
from the book already.
God damn, you suck.
Mean girl deserves to get... Yeah. Grievously bodily injured.
Yeah.
Well, and like Heather was mean to her because she spilled a full hot coffee on Heather apologize because she's too awkward. She just spilled it and was like, oops.
Oops, fuck you.
Okay, yeah. So that's
it's a little bit warranted.
Yeah. But I didn't mean that, a small panicky voice inside Gaia claimed pitifully. I mean, I meant to warn her. I was going to, but...
Shut up!
Gaia screamed at her own mind. If she'd had a tire iron, she would have clubbed herself with it!
Taking that literally, too.
Well, she'd heard too many excuses in her life.
She couldn't stomach them, especially not from herself. The principal was droning on about safety precautions now, and the attention he commanded was lost. Kids were talking, whispering. Gaia realized when she looked up that hundreds of eyes were bouncing around and landing on her again and again. What could she expect? She had known exactly what Heather was walking into, and at least three other people in this very auditorium knew that she knew. She could have saved Heather, and she didn't. She let a petty, stupid conflict, probably based more on her own jealousy than anything else, destroy another person's life. The fanged creature devoured several more feet of intestine and moved onto the lining of her stomach.
That is just awfully detailed.
I don't like it. Everybody was standing up and milling around. Gaia guessed that the assembly was over. Numbly, she got to her feet and let herself be moved along by the crowd. She's like standing, like getting like, bumped through the hallway. Just beyond the doors in the lobby of the auditorium, the puffy, tear-stained face of Tina What's-Her-Name bobbed into view. Yeah, don't start being kind now.
Oh my god.
Gaia stopped.
What's-Her-Face, puffy bitch.
Puffy Tina, that's what we call her. If only shame were part of fear. If only self-loathing were part of fear. I think a lot more stuff is fear than she realizes. Yeah. I don't know. If Gaia were a better person, she would have offered some comforting words. She didn't. She remained the person she was.
Oh, who was kind of a giant bitch.
She's consistent.
Yeah. What happened last night? Tina asked her in a voice tinged with hysteria. What was Heather thinking going in there alone? Did you talk to her? Did you tell her what you'd seen in the park? Gaia realized Tina wasn't judging her. Not yet. She was inviting Gaia to commiserate, to take part in the why that was more oh whys than I was expecting. That churned her restless mind. She wanted to think the best of Gaia.
Other people had gathered. Some were comforting, others being comforted. Several friends clutched Tina supportively. I didn't... Gaia said stiffly, I didn't warn her. Tina's face took a few moments to register this. What do you mean? Gaia had to remind herself to breathe. I mean, I didn't tell Heather about the guy with the knife. Why not? Why didn't you? Tina's shiny doe eyes turned into slitted bat eyes.
You know the opposite of a doe? A bat.
This is poetry.
A bat's have pretty big eyes.
Yeah.
The crowd of people... Like... readied their
looks.
They're
all, like, big and like, ah!
Yeah.
The crowd of people readied their looks of horror, but held off, waiting for an explanation. A part of Gaia wanted to describe to all these eager sets of ears how Heather told her off, called her names, but she knew it would sound just like the lame excuse it was. She deserved the blame for this. She would take it without flinching. I just didn't. Tina was crying now.
Jesus! God,
what's the matter with you? You warned us, but not her? Do you hate Heather so much that you wanted her to get killed?
Amid the loathing, judging faces, Gaia suddenly spied blue. Dark blue uniforms, dark blue hats. The fragments resolved into two policemen.
What?
Come on, Francine.
She's just seeing things in the abstract.
Yes!
God.
Could you actually get arrested for failing to warn someone? Gaia
not
wondered
yet.
Irrationally.
But soon.
I was just going to say, isn't that the Good Samaritan? Oh, wait, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that was the thing.
That did exist by then. Because that was the whole end of Seinfeld.
That was like, what was that, 96 or 97?
It was 90-something. But yeah, it was the Good Samaritan law, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The faces parted to let the police come through. The hum of voices in the lobby grew to a roar. Are you Gaia Moore? One of them, a tall black man, asked. Yes, she answered. Were they going to handcuff her right there in front of the entire student body? Would you please come with us down to the precinct? We have some questions to ask you.
How dare you set this up as the accent?
Every cop sounds like that.
Every cop.
Okay.
Every cop.
Oh, my lord.
Every cop is Irish.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
The man asked it like a real question, not a rhetorical one. He waited for her answer. He didn't slap on any handcuffs.
Oops. You just read that, Chris.
Yes, she said, of course, and she followed them through the exit, distinctly aware of the huge cloud of hate behind her. And that's the chapter title. And then this is, 11 people highlighted this sentence.
Mm-hmm.
That was one plus about profound self-loathing. Nobody could hate you worse than you hated yourself.
Oh,
oh my God. So emo. Holy shit.
So 1999.
Yeah.
Wow. So was that that little, like, House of Leaves interstitial thing that was on, that was like one sentence to a page previously.
Right?
That was, that was something about a cloud.
Oh my God, it was so long ago. Here we go.
Yeah, so that's that. The cloud of hate. Okay. So that's very artistic. Okay, so I see what we're doing here. We're taking like something, some thing out of context and teasing
it's
it.
Tarantino-ing
like,
in a bad way.
Yeah, and yeah, what are you talking about in a bad way? This is amazing.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Different but the same. So, like, is the default narrator Gaia, or the it's like
there's no default.
There's no. It's just this.
It just jumps around.
Yeah, it mainly follows Gaia, but then there's also third person scenes of shit that she's not even there for, like the Marco stuff. But then there's also first person inner monologues of anyone
of
at any time.
People that are around her. Yeah.
I feel like slapdash is the word that best describes it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
She's getting questioned by policemen.
Yes.
You guys, I don't know why you keep letting me back on your podcast, because I know, you know, I never know when it's my fucking turn.
You go after Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I go after Chris.
Okay. Put a sticky note on your tablet.
Seriously. Okay. Different, but the same. And at approximately what hour? There's some inconsistencies here with the text in terms of.
Yeah.
Sometimes the chapter begins with all caps. Sometimes it begins with a bolded.
Like bolded, yeah.
Section.
No rhyme or reason.
So that's why, I don't know if you guys already explained the reason for sometimes we're screaming the first couple words of a chapter, and that's why.
I believe that was a John Walker bit.
I think
screaming
it was a John Walker bit.
All caps.
And then it carried over, yeah.
You have to. And at approximately what hour did you see Heather Gannis approaching the... Oh, this is the cop. Oh, okay. At approximately... I'm trying to get into my
No,
Irish.
I love that, like, anytime any of us do an Irish voice, we have to be like...
Where's
to do
Brian?
A little sing-song.
Brian's the only one among us, among me, us, me and him. Among me. My husband's the only one of me who can do an Irish accent.
Are you okay?
No. Oh, nah, not even close.
Wait, who's Brian? Oh. It's just been you the whole time.
Oh, shit. Oh, no. You can't see him? And at approximately what hour did you see Heather Gannis approaching the park? I can't do an Irish.
You went into Scottish there.
Yeah.
Close.
Approaching the park from the west side. I give up. Gaia couldn't quite pull her eyes from that vague middle distance to focus them on the detective sitting across from her. About 7:45, I guess. You guess? I wasn't wearing a watch at the time. I dropped a friend off at 1st Avenue and 4th Street at 7:30 and then walked directly to the park on my way home. I figured it would take roughly 15 minutes to walk from 1st and 4th to Washington Square West. Gaia replied. She was on auto answer. It felt to her that she'd already fielded at least 100,000 questions and they hadn't even gotten to the meaty part.
Meaty.
Mm.
Fine. And what exactly happened when you saw Heather? The detective asked. Detective Anderson was his name. He was in his 40s, probably, with thinning, medium brown hair, slightly pocked skin, and pale eyes. He looked just as tired and harassed as detectives always looked on those realistic cop shows, such as.
What realistic cop shows do we have in 1999? Like
Homicide?
What? Oh, yeah. That's true.
That's the only one I can think of, though.
The Wire.
So good.
Yeah.
Gaia let out her breath slowly. Did he really want the catty details? I mean, is it catty? Because she got shot. So like, it seems pretty serious.
They exchanged words, kind of.
Yeah.
I guess. I sort of stopped her and Gaia broke off and glanced at the detective. See, Heather and I weren't exactly on friendly terms. A few days ago, I spilled hot coffee on her. For some reason, she didn't like that. I don't know why, what the fuck her fucking problem is. And since then, he prompted, we've had words, you could say.
Her dad was in the CIA.
Right?
Why didn't her dad teach her how to fucking talk to people, specifically how to talk to cops?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't get around to that.
Is the most awkward person.
Isn't she 17? She shouldn't be talking to a detective alone anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Bring your guardian George in there.
Yeah,
what the fuck?
Seriously.
Where's the random 50-year-old man you live with?
Yeah.
I see, the detective nodded. So you disliked Heather, did you? I was told she is still alive.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Yes. Detective Anderson looked genuinely awkward. Oh, you dislike Heather, he amended. That's a tough thing to say about a girl in a coma, sir. Gaia pointed out.
You're the bitch who
You got her comaed.
You got her comaed. All right. Yes. Okay. He sighed and shifted in his chair. Oh, blarney. But as of yesterday evening, you and Heather were enemies. Am I a suspect in this case? Gaia asked, staring him dead in the eye. Okay, now she's
being... Now she's getting it together.
Yeah. He cleared his throat and shifted again. Ah, 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 ah.
Oh my god.
Is he choking?
On his lucky charms?
Yes. That was what he's doing. He moved his mouth a few times before any sounds came out. Oh, no, you're not. Okay. She settled in her chair. She knew she wasn't a suspect because she knew they'd assembled a police lineup because she'd overheard it being discussed when Detective Anderson was hunting around for cream for his coffee.
Typical.
Typical cop. She knew he was trying to pretend like she was so he could manipulate and intimidate her more easily. So, back to the story. She said, chilly, but helpful. Heather told me to leave her alone, and I did. Less than a minute after walking past her, I ran into her friends, Tina and two other people whose names, I don't know. I think you know the story from there. After that, I walked home. You have all the information already. I don't think you can say to a cop, I mean, you can say anything to a cop, but like, you can say to a cop, like, you know the story from there? Yeah. Like, they're fucking asking you.
You know, you don't you have know to what tell I them. Think.
Oh my god. Detective Anderson looked even more harassed and tired. Oh, right. Now, am I to understand that you did not warn Heather as to what you'd just seen moments before in the park? No, sir. But you did warn the three people you saw subsequently? Yes, sir. He waited for an explanation that didn't come. After a while, he stood up. All right, Gaia. That's it for the moment. Would you come with me? I'd like you to look at the lineup. She followed him through the precinct to the viewing room, listening to directions, warnings, assurances associated with the lineup. Okay.
She felt floaty and distant as she took in the hodgepodge of beat-up office furniture, papers, files, boards, maps, clippings, notices, charts, the pathetic set of twigs on a windowsill that had probably been a live plant a decade or two ago. It was so different in particulars, but so generally the same as the precinct where she'd spent the night as a 12-year-old in San Rafael, California, after her mother was murdered, when they couldn't figure out any place to put her.
Interesting.
Is that new?
Notes? Yeah, we knew that her mother wasn't around, but we didn't know why.
Oh, shit.
Ah, shit.
Maybe Guile killed her.
Murdered.
Murder.
I have a dirder and she was murdered.
Am I reading this next one?
Yes.
Okay. Her faults. Gaia, are you okay? It was Ed waiting outside the police station for her, and she wasn't happy to see him. And this was underlined by four people.
Ooh.
Whoever said misery loved company, her misery did not love company. Her misery loved to be alone. Her misery threatened to bludgeon company. Actually, this that was pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah,
that was pretty sick.
Fucking metal shit.
I dig it.
She
is so emo.
That's awesome.
Bludgeon Company was my metal band in college.
Yeah. I'm going to highlight it too.
That's
just to join the rest
great.
Of these people.
Oh, man. That's good shit.
I'm in the business of misery.
I'm fine. She hardly stopped. Another funny thing about having friends was that they expected things of you. They made you want to not be a terrible, awful, execrable person. Execrable? That's a new one to me.
How's that spelled?
Execrable?
E-X-E-C-R-A-B-L-E.
Fancy execrable. Way of saying shitty.
Execrable?
Will this give me a definition?
Like excrement?
I don't think it's like excrement.
Adjective. Extremely bad or unpleasant. As in execrable cheap wine.
Oh, execrably, yeah.
E-X-E-C?
E-X-E-crable.
E-X-E-crable.
Crable.
I just want to hear pronunciation.
Yeah. Execrable. I think it's execrable execrable. I've heard it execrably. The adverb I've heard. But now okay. I can't. Now it's not. Now it just sounds.
Execrable.
Execrable.
We could just say bitch.
E-X-E. Crabble.
Crabble.
E-X-E. Crabble.
Being real crabble about this.
Crabble. They made you feel even worse when you were an ex-crabble. It was a lot easier not to have any friends.
Oh, where?
Guy, wait. Fuck. What's going on?
Incel.
He rolled along after her. She was tempted to find a quick set of stairs to ascend. That's fucked up. Jesus,
damn.
She really was an awful person, she even says to her fucking self.
God damn it, Gaia.
Haven't you heard from the angry hordes at school? I put Heather in the hospital. Didn't they tell you? Ed stammered. Come on, Ed. They did, didn't they? But Gaia, you know it's not true, Ed argued, breathless from rushing to keep up with her. You're not responsible for Heather. Even if you had warned her to stay away from the park, she would have cut through anyway. She wouldn't have listened to you. There's nothing you could have done. Gaia made a sharp turn onto West 4th. Ed's tires practically left skid marks. Gaia, are you even listening? Ed demanded. She didn't bother to stop at the light on 7th Avenue. Gaia, come on!
Gaia.
She practically sprinted all the way down Perry Street and pulled up short in front of George and Ella's house. Listen to me. What happened to Heather was scary and horrible, but it was not your fault. Gaia walked up all 15 steps of the front stoop before she turned around to look at him. Ed Fargo, thank you for trying beyond all possible reason to be my friend, she said quietly, but it was my fault.
What?
With great power comes great responsibility.
She said it quietly.
She turned her key in the door, went inside the house, and shut the door firmly behind her. She went up 3 flights of stairs with the grace of a robot. Once in her room, she walked straight to the vintage...
She's just, like, stomping and upending her knees.
Once in her room, she walked straight to the vintage turntable she'd recently hauled from the garbage and set up on the mantle. She reached behind the pile of records she kept in the non-functional fireplace to the LP in the very back.
Death Cab for Cutie.
So much information at once. You know, all of a sudden it's like, love of mine. She'd long ago memorized every centimeter of the faded, brittle record cover, memorized every word. She took out the record gingerly and set it on the player. She didn't need to study the grooves to know exactly where to set the needle. The music filled the room, loud enough to destroy the speakers, to infuriate Ella, to explode her own head. It was the second movement of the Sibelius Violin Concerto, the darkest, saddest piece of music on the planet.
It's even more emo than Death Cab.
Fuck, it's like intellectual emo.
Oh, it was her mother's favorite, her weird, beautiful, Eastern European mother. With the embarrassing accent, her mother knew all of Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff, Sibelius, and Prokofiev.
Mafia.
Prokofiev.
And nothing of Nirvana or any music Gaia held to be important at the time. She'd been so annoyed at her mother for that. But now the soaring, wailing violin touched Gaia's cracked heart, and she did something she only allowed herself once or twice a year. She lay down on the floor and cried.
Oh my god, can you imagine crying once a year?
God, if I make it once a week, I'm doing good.
I'd save so much time.
Yeah. Wait, hang on. Sibelius.
Are you pulling it up?
I want to pull it up because I just want to. Sibelius.
It's the darkest, saddest piece of music on the planet. I know. So I
just
think
Google
we need
darkest,
to know.
Saddest piece of music and it'll come right up.
I typed it in and it's like, I don't know what the fucking second movement is.
Even Google's like, I don't know, man.
That's not
Well, here's a Reddit post called, "What's up with the rhythm in the second movement in Sibelius?"
Yeah, right?
In subreddit violinist. Here, let's just... is this... I don't know if this is the second movement. I'm so sorry.
Hit me with that darkness.
This is what she was blasting as loud as she could.
It immediately makes me think of Bambi, and I don't know why, because I haven't seen Bambi in like 30 years, so it might not be correct to anything that's in Bambi.
Is it playing? I can't hear it.
Yeah, I can't hear it either.
Oh, no.
Oh damn it, guys. It is playing.
You should look it up.
It's fucking heartbreaking. No,
look it up on your shared screen.
Oh, yeah.
You idiot.
Dummy.
This is probably it.
I guess this is it.
Yeah, it's...
Kind of haunting. It's kind of haunting.
What was it? The most... What did she call it? The most depressing... Or
saddest,
the
darkest.
Darkest.
Honestly, it sounds like a... Gomez and Morticia romance music.
Yeah. Yeah. Meh.
You were an animal last night. Do it again.
I just wanted to write down about when that was so you can cut it out later.
Thank you.
What are you talking about?
I'll cut the bullshit out.
That was riveting content.
All right, so that was our Sibelius break.
I've heard darker concertos.
I've heard darker concertos. Certainly not the darkest. Have you heard Elliot Smith's concertos?
Yeah. Kyle would love Elliot Smith.
She would. Oh man. All right. Is this where we were?
I don't remember who was reading. Oh, I think Chris was.
Oh,
reading.
It was right there.
Yeah.
Second movement of the Sibelius. Where's Chris?
Or wait, oh. Was he the one reading?
I think so.
I thought so, right? It wasn't me.
What?
Chris?
He's gone.
The music got
He's
him.
So
oh my god. Oh.
He's so moved, he just got up and walked out into the darkness, never to return.
Just walking down the street and sobbing.
Just walking down the street.
I couldn't take it.
Sobbing and weeping.
I couldn't take the violin.
Are you texting him?
No, I was seeing if he had texted us, just to be like, just to see if he was like, oh, I'll be right back. But yeah. I truly have no idea where Chris went. No. And he's the one who usually vamps and fills time.
I was just thinking that. Who's going to sing the vamp song?
Vamp, 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 vamp. I fell in. Vamp, 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 vamp. Oh my god. Aww. Chris, where did you go?
I had to pee.
Oh,
well, I'm only human, John.
We didn't know, so then we were done doing the thing, and then I was like, all right, it's time to keep reading, and and your window was empty.
Yeah, but like I finished my turn, so I figured that was a good time
to go
pee.
I thought the sadness took you.
Oh, you had finished.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize.
Oh, well, I don't know. How do you guys handle the like interstitial pages that have like one sentence on them?
Read that one and the next one.
Yeah, you'll just read this one and the next one.
Okay. Oh, God. So I get another one. Oh, this is so exciting.
Yeah.
I wonder what it's going to be. Okay. The opposite of love.
Hate.
He needed to pull himself out of this trance to get a little distance.
I wish you had said distance.
Distance.
Wait.
Yeah, okay. Wait, hang on.
Take that again.
Take it again from the top. The opposite of love. He needed to pull himself. Oh, no.
Oh, you fucked it up.
Okay, take three. This is going to be a long
I believe in you.
Podcast. Thank you so much. The opposite of love. He needed to pull himself out of this trance to get a little distance.
Beautiful.
Yay.
Poetry.
What?
Okay. Not thinking of an elephant.
I don't like that not all the first letters of the words in the titles are capitalized.
Yeah.
That I hate it too.
Some
Becca.
Are, but not all.
And like this.
I hate it too.
Well, that's but at that's least that's consistently lowercase. All lowercase.
That's true. Okay. Yep. That's fine.
Not an elephant are the poem. Only words capitalized.
Yeah.
We're fucking E.E. Cummings up in here. Sam sat in the waiting room of the intensive care unit. Oof. Rhythmically whacking his heel against the foot of the couch. It was just like hospital waiting rooms were supposed to be. Genuine naga hide couch and chairs, plastic side tables displaying magazines you wouldn't have wanted to read in the late 80s when they came out. A mounted television showed some wretched soap opera that might as well have been filmed and closed captioned in that very hospital.
She's watching you don't General know Hospital.
Yeah.
Fucking goddamn it.
He hadn't seen Heather since last night, and he felt nervous. Finding her in the park 18 hours before, white as the moon in a dark puddle
of
blood.
Oh, my brain was thinking this was Ed, but it's Sam.
It's Sam Moon.
Yeah,
Sam Moon.
I didn't just know what was...
One syllable
Sam sat.
Man
okay.
Names.
Yeah, Sam. Okay. So that's
it's
her Chess active
Hottie.
Current Chess, boyfriend, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sexy Rain Chess Sam.
Sexy Rain Chess Sam. Okay, so he's the one who found her.
I guess.
Such a potent jolt to his system. He was still breathing, moving, thinking too fast. God, she looked so fragile and broken. He thought she was dead until he detected the faintest, slowest flutter of a pulse in her wrist. After that, everything exploded into sound and motion. Screaming ambulance sirens, police sirens, people hurrying every which way. He hadn't slept since, of course, so his senses were oddly distorted. Colors were too bright, noises too shrill, smells too acrid. Time was disjointed. For example, hadn't it been at least 2 hours since Heather's parents had disappeared with a doctor into Heather's room, telling him they would be out in 10 minutes? What little peace he had would be shattered when Heather's sisters arrived from their colleges and Heather's friends stormed the place the moment school let out. A bunch of those friends had already camped out in the waiting room through their lunch period, spewing millions and trillions of words. But Sam would suffer them.
Fuck.
Jesus. Deserves a fucking trophy.
He and Gaia are made for each other.
Yeah. He would deprive himself of food and drink and sleep and continue to torture himself with this ridiculous soap opera as punishment, laughably slight though it was.
Punishment for what?
Like
making eye contact with Gaia?
Right.
I just love that you kind of slipped into Moira Rose there.
Just so fucking dramatic.
Like, laughably slight though it was.
Oh, you know, Moira
halfway
Rose
to
would really...
transatlantic like Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Moira Rose would really make a meal out of the word execrable.
Yeah. She probably know how to pronounce it right.
Crabble.
Crabble.
I have to write that down so I can forget what it means the next time we
just write down the word with nothing else so that we have no idea why.
Just writing EXE.
I'm going to text it to all of you tomorrow.
I'll try and continue the transatlantic. What was the punishment for? For contemplating a breakup with Heather not half an hour before she nearly bled to death. For sitting here.
I was going to dump her ass.
I was so... I was only thinking of my accent that I wasn't even reading. I wasn't understanding what I was actually reading. That's why I went, oh! For sitting here, his skin intact as a newborn's.
Gross.
What?
That's gross, and it's not true.
What? While Heather lay slashed in a coma. For thinking
she wasn't slashed, she was shot.
Was she? Yeah, what the fuck actually happened to her?
We have no idea.
Does he
slashed
even know?
By a bullet.
I heard her head was cut off. Someone gouged out both of her eyes and replaced them with acorns.
Says ew.
I know, it's gruesome. Her feet are on her hands now. Someone took her butt off.
It was probably the werewolf that was eating Gaia's intestines.
Oh my god. For thinking nonstop of that girl. Mistake. Big mistake. Better not to think of thinking about her.
Wow.
My god, he's losing his mind. Better not to think of thinking about her because then suddenly he was thinking of her. Stop. Heal. New thought. New thought.
Heal?
Heal, boy.
That's what I say to myself. You know, when boy.
He needs some fucking sleep.
Oh my god, right? He dragged his mind back to an absorbing topic. One he could worry and fiddle with obsessively like a bloody hangnail.
Gross.
What was that girl's name? The one Tina and co. had blathered on about for a
this
solid
hour. This is a good voice
hour.
For him.
Yes, it really is. Maya. No. What was it? Gaia? Something like that? Yes.
Such a forgettable name.
Exactly like yeah. that. What was her name? Mother Earth? How he hated her, loathed and despised her. What kind of person would let an innocent girl walk straight into a situation they knew was deadly? How petty and small and cowardly this Gaia must be. Oh, so he doesn't
know. Oh, he doesn't know it was his chess hottie.
Yes. He doesn't know. Oh. Of course, the knife-wielding devil who...
Read it really again, is, but like... say devil.
Yeah. Of course, the knife-wielding devil... who attacked Heather, deserved the real blame. But he was beyond hating. He was beyond imagining. Gaia, on the other hand, was a classmate. She was one of them. Ah, this was good.
Jesus.
Righteous. I'm not adding a goddamn thing. Righteous
indignation. Maybe this is how Francine intended it.
Yeah. Shouted in a transatlantic accent.
Someone's going to make a podcast about this book.
I am. I need to lean back some. Righteous indignation got him back on course every time. That's healthy. If he could just keep this focus, keep railing loyally against Gaia, he wouldn't have to think for a minute at a stretch of that girl. That girl both times was italicized.
Nothing keeps at bay like righteous indignation. Yeah.
Every time I have an unwanted boner, I go, stop, heal.
Heal. Jesus.
Does that work?
No.
The boyfriend.
If anything, it makes it worse, Chris. Jesus.
Yeah.
Gaia dreaded this worse than she would dread a group hug with Ella and George, or 33 simultaneous root canals, or even trying out for the cheerleading squad.
Cheerleaders are lame because I'm emo and cool.
It's so lame to have fun with your friends. But she would make herself do it. She would drag herself right up to the 8th floor of this hospital, past the bevy of Heather's men's who detested her. Heather's Men's.
M-E-N-D-S,
and it's capitalized.
Bevy
of Heather's Men's.
Is that like a...
That was my folk band.
Yeah, Bevy of Heather's Men's was my Decemberist cover band.
Yes! Yes!
Bevy
of Heather's Men's.
Is this another, like, secret Canadian author and there's, like, weird colloquialisms that we don't know about? Like, Men's is a term for, like, a friend group or something.
Are they, like, men friends? Maybe they're all men friends.
Oh my god, I feel like I've gone insane.
This has been hard to get through. Even harder than the sexy chess.
Yeah, we'll just gloss over that.
Yeah. Bevy of Heather's Men's, who detested her.
Stop it.
The desperate parents who were too broken up to care about her. The steadfast, annoying boyfriend who'd maybe take a nanosecond from his grieving to curse her name. It was the right thing for Gaia to do. The fact that she dreaded it so much only made it seem more necessary. Gaia emerged from the elevator and hesitated in front of the nurse's station. "You're a friend of Heather Gannis?" the orange-haired nurse asked without even looking up from her computer.
Orange.
Yeah, she's cool. She's a cool nurse.
Okay.
"Hi. Waiting room on your left," the nurse said, still not looking up. Gaia loitered another moment, feeling wrong about going to the waiting room under false pretenses. Like lying about being a friend. She's still there.
Gaia, fucking...
No one gives a shit.
No one fucking cares,
like, "I'm not her friend, but I'm still gonna go. But I need you, nurse, to know that."
No, I'm an enemy.
Yes, I am her one enemy.
I'm not a friend, I'm a masochist.
Yeah. Gaia, loitered. But what was she going to do? Pour out her heart to the overburdened nurse? Like she'd care that Gaia dumped coffee on Heather or that Heather bitched her out at a party? "Okay," Gaia said, as meekly as she'd ever said anything. "Thanks." "Walk, walk, walk," she ordered herself. Okay, there they were, spilling out into the hallway, the friends. When they saw her, would they make a scene right there in the waiting room? Throw stones, burn her at the stake? The first murderous glance came from Tina herself. Many others followed as Gaia attempted to slip past the two full room.
The murmur of hushed conversation stopped. Tina gaped at her, but was apparently so appalled she couldn't speak. Instead, the good-looking boy who'd been with Tina last night, the old suede-jacketed star of Gaia's cafe fantasy, stepped in. "Why are you here?" he demanded. Why was she here? That was a good question, we all asked. Because it was the last place on Earth she wanted to be? Because self-flagellation was the only thing
she
that felt right?
Mm-hmm.
Gaia's real answer made her sound like a kiss-ass, so she didn't want to say it out loud. She was here because she wanted and needed to apologize to Heather, even if Heather couldn't hear. Gaia didn't want to pander to the crowd.
That's not kiss-ass. That's like the least... Yeah. She could possibly do human decency.
I don't think anyone would have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Gaia didn't want to pander to the crowd.
They might like you more. It would show that you have a...
She is a robot.
Fucking bitch. Yeah.
Gaia didn't want to pander to the crowd, and she wasn't looking for social resurrection. She was perfectly happy being a pariah. That was as comfortable to her as an old pair of shoes. So, as often happened... She said nothing. She continued on her way down the hall without a particular plan in mind.
Wait, fucking seriously? She just came and lurked.
Fuck, at least give him the finger
or something. And then walked away like a creep. Oh my god.
Someone asked her a question and she didn't answer.
Oh my god. She did just...
She just...
Mosey the on by.
Looked in at the girl in a coma.
Oh my god. Left.
Like, I skimmed ahead, but it's just like, no one's crying out like she's here to finish the job.
Yeah, yeah. Stop her.
Check her for knives or guns.
The second room on the right, through a wide open doorway, was Heather's. Gaia drew in a sharp breath and quickly averted her eyes. She hadn't meant to go right there exactly. She hadn't imagined how Heather would look, frail as a bird, hooked up by scores of tubes to machines that dripped and machines that bleeped, shorn of the self-consciously cool clothing and the beauty that made it so much easier for Gaia to ridicule her. Gaia suddenly felt like throwing up. So do I. There was something much, much worse than your enemy receiving praise, fame, and riches and living happily ever after with an exceptionally handsome guy your enemy getting slashed in the park after you hoped Shot. It would happen. Her eyes
Maybe the gun had a bayonet on it, like in Fallout, where you could like tape a knife on there.
It was like a game of telephone.
That's what I was going to say. I'm assuming it's just like schoolyard chatter, like, I heard you were shot. Like,
first person
I know, I was joking.
That's the second time I haven't picked up on your joke.
I was joking about bayonets.
I love that. It was definitely a Civil War era bayonet.
Yes, rifle. Thank you, Joe.
This book has scrambled my brain so much.
Her eyes
taking everything literally.
Her eyes swept into the room again. There, as expected, she saw the dark head of the boyfriend bowed over Heather's prone, still body.
Maybe he was crying. Maybe the chess hottie was crying. there's curse words in this book.
It would be, there is.
Oh yeah, it's
edgy. It would be so funny if she was like, excuse me, and like got a hospital coffee and then spilled it on Heather's like coma body.
Fuck yeah. Just throw another high coffee on it.
Maybe this will snap her out of it.
It's my only move.
Shit. Gaia had no right to be there. What had she been thinking? It was some selfish hope for exoneration that brought her nothing nobler than that. Now what? She'd walk herself to the end of the hall. She'd wait a minute or two. She'd walk herself back out to the reception area, maybe find a waiting room on another floor, keep her own private vigil for a few hours, or days if necessary, until things settled down. And then, as politely as possible, she'd apologize to Heather's parents and ask if she might have permission to apologize to Heather. They'd think she was a complete freak, but that hardly mattered, did it?
Did it?
That's a lot weirder than just doing
just,
it
just
now.
Doing it now, yeah.
Or just do it now instead of fucking stalking the comatose young lady. Gaia
Anxiety,
trudged.
You say.
Gaia trudged to the end of the hall. On her way back, she cast one look in Heather's room. Quiet though she was, the boyfriend chose that very moment to look up. Gaia's eyes stuck to his and she couldn't move them. Her body reacted before her mind. Her head swam. The sploosh. The coke she'd
her
had
Her basement
for...
was flooded.
Her basement flooded. The coke she'd had for lunch climbed up her esophagus. Ew. I mean, when I get horny over chess guys, I just vomit right into my esophagus. All oxygen departed her lungs. It was him. He was it. It him. He was. Wow. This is
what?
Fucking like. Can
what?
We, like, get some snapping for this it fucking him. Like beat poetry.
It hit.
It
I wanted to
him.
Point
he
at him and say out loud. It him.
It him. He was Heather's boyfriend. The evil, ugly monster with the matted, stinking hair and razor blade fangs moved up from her stomach and took a chomp at her heart.
Fucking God.
Gaia staggered toward the elevator.
How has no one highlighted that sentence?
Right?
I know, fuck.
Oh, man.
So he wouldn't see her when her knees gave out.
Holy Jesus shit. Gaia.
That must
chomp
have been
at her heart.
Oh,
steamy,
God.
Wet chess game.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh, holy shit.
I can only imagine what she looked like to him. Just like this.
I just imagine she's shaking like a dog.
And she's like, oh, oh,
yes, fucking she's like burping up acid.
As soon as she walks in, she's like, oh.
shit.
Fuck. God, I love this book so much.
Oh man.
My face is hot from laughing.
A salted slug.
What?
The name of the chapter.
Okay.
In retrospect, it would have been so much better if Sam had stayed where he was. Instead, for no good reason. Oh right, okay, we're a Sam now.
Yeah.
Instead, for no good reason, he allowed his unfaithful legs to carry him from Heather's side, where he belonged.
Damned legs.
Down the hall and after the girl. It was impossible for him to explain why. He didn't decide to do it. His body was just suddenly up and moving. It was like when the doctor thwacked your knee. You didn't decide to kick your foot. Do we have a voice for him? I cannot remember.
I think this voice should carry yeah. over.
Okay. Okay. Wait, he said, as she fled from him, just as she had a few days before. Heather's sisters and a crowd of friends blocked the hallway, impeding the girl's progress. She dodged and wove like a running back facing a defensive line. Football.
Sports.
Leaving already, Gaia?
He heard Carrie Longman say in an unmistakably hostile voice.
Longman.
What?
Just a quick tangent. We went over. We went and had breakfast with Jordan and Claire, our friends, for people listening who don't know who they are. And
they've been on the podcast.
They've been on the podcast. I don't remember how we got talking about the show Yellowstone. None of us have watched Yellowstone.
White people.
I don't even know where you're going with.
Doesn't matter. Jordan was at one point talking about Yellowstone, and then he was talking about another. He was like, there's another show that's like Yellowstone called Landman.
Oh, Landman.
We couldn't stop laughing. And it's a real show with Billy Bob Thornton.
It's written by the same guy.
It's written by the same guy?
Yeah.
But Taylor Landman Sheridan. Just sounds so fake.
Landman.
I've never heard of that, and I don't believe you.
It's a Billy Bob Thornton show.
Every time Jordan said Landman, me and Becca started laughing.
We're very rude house guests. They fed us crepes.
They fed us crepes, and then he was just like...
Fucking Landman.
He's like, Landman, and we're like just laughing. Like, you have to stop talking about Landman, because I'm not listening to what you're saying.
Is that a minimalist Jaws shirt you're wearing?
It is.
I have eyes.
Yeah. Perceptive. The girl broke through the line and made for the elevator bank. Sam followed her there along with a lot of whispers and nasty looks. It honestly did not occur to him that the girl was the girl Carrie had been addressing until he was facing her, just 2 feet away from her, in front of the elevators. His thoughts were covered in molasses.
Oh my god. Art.
I can't. They moved achingly slow with big gaps between them, like molasses. The girl Carrie had been addressing was called Gaia. The girl he was now gaping at was called Gaia. The girl was the girl. The girl was Gaia. Gaia was the one who had
Gaia.
It. Him.
It.
Her.
Him.
Gaia. The girl.
You're Gaia, he said to her.
Jesus Christ.
Holy shit.
She was silent for a long time, just staring. She's fucking awkward.
Does that all the time.
Yeah. Her eyes were too much for him.
Oh my god.
You're the boyfriend, she said slowly.
Oh my god.
It sounded like a felony, like an atrocity, the way she said it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Man, she's dead. I was just going to say, I need Francine Pascal to write porn. Like,
oh my
smut.
God.
We don't know if she has it.
Yeah,
that's true.
We can do a little research.
Just like, I just want the insanity of this, but also with like cocks and shafts and stuff.
Oh my god, she wanted to so bad, dude. Yeah. You know that's in the drafts. Right? That's in the fucking drafts.
Her eyes were too much to handle.
So was his dick.
Wow, so you should write.
I was just gonna say like pussy, but I'm like that's too. I can't. That's they
you
don't.
Said well, cock you said like it now. 30 seconds ago.
I know.
All right, Sam. My name is
obviously
Sam.
I'm bad at smut.
Oh, her face was strangely open. Her eyes a whirlpool. He was scared to let himself read them this time. He was scared of getting sucked in. I,
gross.
You, we, he stammered. What exactly did he want to say? He could see from the panel above the nearest elevator that it was climbing toward them. three, four, five. You're the Gaia who saw the guy with the knife in the park last night, he blurted out in a disorganized rush. You're the one who didn't warn her. The girl's face was a little too white for a person with a beating heart.
Oh my god.
Beautiful. Her hands trembled at her sides. She nodded. Why? I don't understand. Do you dislike her that much? I guess I do. Silas.
Holy
Jesus
shit!
Jesus Christ!
God damn! I can't believe we've got like a third of the book left and this is what the book's about?
Apparently.
Yeah, I guess it's just a girl getting slash shot and that's it.
While
and
Gaia is just...
crush.
Yeah. I thought it would be more about Nazis and like CIA dad and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's about her being the most awkward person in the world to the point that a girl gets stab shot.
Yeah, this seems like it must be the sort of primary conflict.
I feel like she's
getting... there'll be like a plot avalanche at the end where like all of a sudden she hunts them all down and beats the shit out of them.
That would be good, at least.
Yeah, or we find out that Heather was like in on it, and she's been faking the coma the whole time.
Oh shit!
I feel like maybe it was her initiation was like, you know, like you got to get stabbed before you can stab other people.
Slash before you can slash. Yeah.
It's like that. It's like
receive
the end of
slash
Scream.
Before you can dish slash out.
Slash. Oh my god! Silence. 6, 7. He needed to pull himself out of this trance to get a little distance. A little
on account of his
dance. I'm sorry. He needed to remember. I always forget the little snippet at the beginning when we read it.
Oh, yeah,
until
me
it's
too.
Late.
It was so long ago.
It was. He needed to remember who needed defending here. He looked away from her, summoning his shield of righteous indignation. What is wrong with
Classic.
You? Are you some kind of monster? He hated the way his voice sounded. She took so long to respond, it was punishing. But that elevator's gotta be there by now.
Right? They're only 8 floors up.
Yeah. Those wide, boundless eyes pinned him to his spot with a look that made him feel horrible, like a salted slug. You're not what I thought, she said finally. Why should he feel horrible? He hadn't done anything wrong.
The elevator arrived on 8. The doors opened with glacial slowness. Suddenly, he hated her. It was only partly rational, partly fair. She was the source of all the problems, of Heather's condition, of the shameful, disloyal thoughts that had invaded his brain. Now in her face, in her eyes, he saw none of the tenderness or the possibilities he saw before, which was sex. I hate you, he said.
Wow.
Oh my god.
As the babyish words emerged from his mouth, she stepped into the elevator. I hate you too. He watched her face until the doors closed. Unbidden, that stupid saying entered his mind. That one about hate not being the opposite of love.
What?
What,
what is it? What's
fine
the opposite
line
of
between love
then?
And hate, I guess.
Know.
Opposite of hate is apathy or whatever. So he's actually in love with her because love and hate are similar. And so
all right, am I reading this?
Yeah, I was just going to say that was
they're
that was
in
short.
Love.
Cold coffee.
Maybe she throws cold coffee.
Oh
on
my
her.
God, yes.
Like hot coffee started this problem. Cold coffee will solve it.
This is the invention of cold brew.
Oh my god.
Who picked CJ out of the lineup? The older woman asked, leaning over the table that divided them, resting her chin in her palm. Marco could see down her lavender blouse to the tops of her breasts spilling out of a white bra with lace edges.
Nasty, you nasty.
He wanted to... Oh, wait, I forgot he's Travolta.
Francine, is that the author's name, Francine?
He wanted to kiss her and touch Francine. Her so bad.
That's a thing that Travolta would definitely do, though.
Yeah.
She always wanted to talk first. That was the way most girls were, in his experience. So his mouth went one way and his mind went another.
It also kind of sounds like she's his boss.
Yeah.
For whatever this fucking thing is.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, wait, who's Marco?
He's the neo-Nazi.
One of the Nazis.
He's the one who's, like, been meeting with this mysterious woman.
Okay.
Who's
okay.
been like flirting okay. with him, but telling him to like leave Gaia alone.
Got it.
All right. I'm starting from the top because I think the woman that was speaking was the lady.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Who picks CJ out of the lineup? The older woman asked, leaning over the table that divided them, resting her chin in her palm. Marco could see down her lavender blouse to the tops of her breasts spilling out of a white bra with lace edges. He wanted to kiss her and touch her so bad. She always wanted to talk first. That was the way most girls were in his experience, so his mouth went one way and his mind another. Nobody knows for sure. Some guys think it was that blonde girl, that friend of yours. A couple of them saw her in the park last night before that other girl, you know. He didn't feel like going any deeper into this particular subject, probably because he stabbed her. Mm. He wanted to talk about how good her shiny red hair looked all loose like that in the dream of his she'd starred in last night.
Oh my God,
she crossed her legs under the table and her knee brushed his.
Shwing. Oh Lord.
He came.
I heard on the news that the girl who was slashed, they didn't release her name, is out of a coma and expected to make a full recovery, she said. Yeah? That's good news for CJ. They'll stick him with assault instead of murder. He never meant to hurt us so bad.
This is what a Nazi sounds like. Murder.
CJ's in custody? Nobody came up with bail, she asked. He pressed his shin against hers. Whew. All right, hold on.
What were you saying about this Nazi?
We got shins touching now. Nah, it was like $100,000 or something. His mother lives in Miami. She doesn't even know about it. So maybe you'll need to take over in his absence?
What?
Marco lifted his shoulders so they looked extra big. Yeah, that's the plan. Tarek, you know, Marty's older brother, wants me to take care of this old Jew foreigner in the park. This crazy guy who sits over by the chess table.
No!
Not Zolov, or I think...
I think it was Zoloft,
because
it sounded like Zoloft.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, no. Not Zoloft.
Not Zoloft.
Oh, my God. I don't know what is happening.
Fuck.
She nodded and sipped her coffee. Marco looked down at his own coffee. He'd hardly touched it. He'd only ordered it because it seemed more mature than a Coke.
Oh, my God.
The coffee was cold now, and an iridescent grease slick quivered on the top.
Ew. Don't try to do more than you're doing, Francine.
This is how horny he is.
Yeah, this coffee's fucking sexy, man.
The coffee's quivering. He's like, oh!
Oh! Everything in this diner was greasy.
Ew.
But the tables and back were private. Why was she so fascinated by this stuff? Nothing seemed to shock her or upset her. Was she a writer for a magazine or something? Even though she was older, she was freaking sexy. He didn't care much as long as she changed the names and all that.
So he doesn't know what she's doing or why, she's telling him some stuff to do and asking him questions. What even is this?
He's so dumb.
I feel dumb.
No, he's making us all dumber.
Yeah.
Why the old guy? She asked. Marco shrugged. Because he's there. He's kind of a joke in the park. This loser kid who wants to be a part of things. Rennie is his name. He loves this old guy. Marty and them think it will be funny.
Let's take his old man friend away. Hilarious.
Marco smiled in a way he thought was both tough and mysterious, and I'm sure it looked like either.
What could that look like? What could a tough and mysterious smile look like?
I don't know.
She didn't smile back. Do you want something else? She asked. A Coke.
You baby.
You baby. Only babies drink Coke. He couldn't wait anymore. He stood and grabbed her hand. I want to get out of here. She remained seated. I want to finish my coffee.
Fuck.
I don't understand a single thing.
No.
I don't either. And I've been here the whole time.
Is she? I won't even ask. I'm just going to go with it.
What the fuck? I don't know what this is.
It didn't even have like a chapter break. Or
yeah, I'm just going to read it as is. One poppy seed bagel with cream cheese. One large coffee with milk and two sugars. Three Winto green lifesavers. Bolded. When I was 12, my mind's eye would sometimes flash on excruciating images from the night I lost my mother. They destroyed me, but I couldn't stop. The worst thing you can do in that situation is order your mind not to think of something. You know the old don't think of an elephant problem? So I invented these tactics for distraction. Oh my god. The elephant thing was like a billion pages ago.
Three chapters ago. Yeah.
Oh my god. The first line of defense was to think about kids at school. Not my friends exactly, because I didn't have many of... So is this Gaia? What the fuck? Okay. Mm-hmm.
I assume so, right? Because her mother...
She's the only one we know lost their mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not my friends exactly, because I didn't have many of those, but the people I fantasized about being friends with. I'd weave these scenes together with cute dialogue about the fun we'd all have palling around together. Second line of defense was imagining a boy to fall in love with. What would he look like? What kinds of things would he say to me? Would it be love at first sight, or would it take me a few minutes to overwhelm him with my charm? If those two didn't work, I exiled my mind to listing European capitals, which my dad made me memorize when I was three. Could you do that at three?
I don't remember anything.
In the CIA, you can.
If you're not too afraid to memorize them, which she's not. And finally, if my mind offered absolutely no place to hide, if thinking at all was sheer torment, I would distract it by cataloging what I'd eaten the day before. Tonight, lying on the floor of my room, the first three attempts led to 1, Heather, 2, Sam, 3, Belgrade. I skipped directly to yesterday's breakfast.
Why did you do that so weird?
I don't know. Do we want to keep reading?
I don't know.
How's the feeling?
In 8 minutes, the finale of season 2 of Severance.
We should just stop right now then. Bum, ba, 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 ba. Wow. A lot happened.
Yeah.
I guess.
Or did it.
Well, yeah. Hang on a second. One major thing happened.
I'm upset about the shooting that just got turned into a slashing.
A slashing.
I'm upset about that.
Yeah.
Because I feel...
You're upset it wasn't a shooting?
I'm being gaslit.
Chris, she lives in New York.
They said shot, didn't they? They said shot. And then all of a sudden
several times.
Yeah, they did.
Saying slashing. And it's not... That's not... I would like to know.
Health science? How do you end up in a coma from being slashed?
I think you probably have to be... Yeah, right? Like, slashing is a
like
way
maybe
less
maybe they
serious
slashed her brain.
Injury.
Could be a medically induced coma.
But, okay.
Maybe.
Not to be gruesome, but, like, a person can survive a lot of stabs.
I know, but I guess I don't know what
do
makes
know that from
you fall into a coma. I guess I don't know coma.
Yeah. I just mean like in media, in like movies and TV and shit, it'll be like someone will get stabbed one time and then they're like, oh no, and then they die. Yeah. In reality, you hear about people getting stabbed like 42 times and they're like,
yeah.
I mean, it sucked, but I lived. Like, you have to really fuck someone up to kill them, I think, by stabbing them. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
I the one time I did jury duty and ended up on an attempted murder jury, and it was a lady who got stabbed 12 times in the head and face and neck.
Jesus.
Wow.
And survived. So
Jesus.
There was
the kind of jury you want to be on.
Yeah, just a casual.
Yeah.
Chill and cool and casual and fine. Not traumatizing at all.
There was that the fucking the Slender Man thing with those girls.
The girls in Michigan? Minnesota? Minnesota? Michigan? Yeah.
I don't know.
Wisconsin?
Midwest. Midwest.
somewhere out there.
A lot of don't you know.
They were like 12 or something like that, and they lured, like, two girls lured their friend out into the woods, and they stabbed her a lot, and she didn't die, and that was a child.
Yeah. Yeah, you can stab... You can stab and stab and stab.
There's a lot of goo you can stab, and it's just fine.
Stab and stab and stab.
We're mostly
not
goo.
That you should. No, but
no,
you
I'm not.
Could.
Yeah,
you could.
Look, we're not saying you should do it. We're just saying that you could and you wouldn't kill someone.
Oh no!
God damn it! Holy shit, Joe. How accurate is this book to New York life?
1,000%. Yeah, definitely.
Stabbed every day.
Every day.
Do you see people playing chess at a park outside, like outdoor chess tables? Is that a thing?
It maybe every once in a while, I guess. I don't go outside much.
We're asking the wrong person.
Too many stabbings. Too many slashings.
Yeah.
How many times do people play chess in your apartment?
Zero. I thought we were going to get into a chess phase after we watched Anya Taylor-Joy. Yeah, Queen's Gambit.
Yeah.
So I bought a chessboard.
But instead, you
like
just did a bunch of drugs.
It's yeah. Instead, we didn't ever. Every time we were talking about the sexy chess game, I've witnessed a wet chess game between.
Excuse me.
Wet chess.
You waited until the end of the episode to say this.
And it was life. It was like comically large, like life size chess. Like you had to like. Have you ever seen one of those chess boards?
Yes,
where it's
but
like you have to
like wizards.
Like the pieces
chess?
Are like as big as you are.
Yeah.
You
when? Why? How? What? Tell me more about the wet chess.
Bro, I was on. I was in Mexico with my husband Brian and our friend Colin, who is the only one in our friend group who like follows through on foreign travel plans. And so we were all in Mexico together, and it rained the whole time. but the hotel we were staying at had one of those comically large, like outdoor human-sized chess boards.
Yeah,
and they were locked in a very intense chess
Brian
game.
Brian and Colin.
And
oh my god!
Fucking pouring down rain, but they could not possibly either of them concede. And they were
your immediate
deadlocked.
Thought is like this is hot as shit, right?
I mean, now in retrospect, I'm like, I guess this should have been. I didn't know how
okay,
sexy.
There's nothing less sexy about two grown men having to pick up like
life-size chess pieces, carry them around.
I just remember being
did they
more
slip like in
like
cartoons?
bored and cold. Oh, it was so slippery. I think like I just was so bored and cold. I've never been so bored and cold, and just being like, you guys are gonna have to. And the worst part is,
oh my god,
no one ever won.
Oh, they that's like, what I was just gonna say. Is who won?
Literally stalemate. Like they could not. They what? Are exactly. Matched in chess wits, and they could not. They were just. They had.
Do you
to
have
just
any
eventually...
pictures of that?
Oh I sure do. And
oh my god!
Send me immediately.
I need to. Oh my god!
Wet chess.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That is the best. Oh my god! I'm so happy we had you on this episode.
I know.
That's serendipitous.
That's immediately what I thought of. I was like, this is probably too like god. Niche of a story. I don't know if it's that good of a story, but
that's a great story.
I had to share.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's wonderful.
There, I cannot, there's nothing else to talk about after, like, we have to end it now.
Wet chess. Wet Mexican chess.
Wet Mexican chess. Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. Joe, thank you for being our guest on this episode. What did
I
you
mean,
think?
It's a better like thing to end this on than how many times can you stab someone?
Right? That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for
thanks really, for lighting the mood.
Thanks for turning it around.
I've got stories to tell.
What did you think of Fearless?
Wow. Okay. What's the other Sweet Valley High, right?
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
what else? That those weren't this horny, right? Like with like the
no,
what? Not this the, horny, like, but I mean, yeah,
more angsty.
This is definitely more adult.
Yeah. Sweet Valley High yeah. was more early 90s. This is very much late 90s.
Yeah, this is like
they
she
were younger
saw,
teens.
She saw, yeah. she read Girl with the Dragon Tattoo or yeah. some shit. It was like, ooh.
I'm waiting for a scene where she's like, my dad taught me computers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My yeah. dad taught me hacking.
Hacking, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm in. Get into the mainframe. Oh, boy.
Holy shit.
Yeah, great. Fantastic. Excellent.
Fantastic.
Can't wait. Is the next one going to be the finale? Or are there a couple more?
I think we might have two more.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I need to look and... Yeah, we need to look and see.
Oh,
all
yeah.
All depends on how much the next is left. One goes.
Is there anything you'd like to plug for anyone listening?
Is there anything I'd like to plug... I mean, no. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have an art Instagram, but it doesn't matter, does it?
What about that,
everything matters.
That shop where your art here. Is? I don't know if anyone in New York listens yeah. to this, but your art.
Oh yeah, because I was like, oh, I had a store, but they on Society 6, they fucking took it down because they took down like everyone's shops that weren't in like the top like 5%. Yeah, so they just deleted everything God, I've ever that. Done and took it all wow. down because I wasn't like lucrative enough or oh, wow. whatever.
I guess
so
mine's
they just
gone.
Were like, oh yeah, they were like, yeah,
no
fuck
one bought shit
all
from
of
me.
You forever.
Cool.
And then that coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yes. So I have some work up at a beautiful, wonderful, woman-owned, immigrant-owned. Small business coffee shop / third space called the Community Boutique and Cafe in like East Village / Alphabet City in Manhattan. Wonderful, lovely place. If you're ever in New York, check out Community Boutique and Cafe. And I'm selling art prints there. And I do sell art prints on my website, which is joe-lee.com joe-leigh.com and yeah. that is yeah that's a good plug that's
that
good.
Is a great
that
plug.
Sounded good
everyone yeah. go there
I like that you
artwork.
Waited until the end to remember that you had a website
yeah you know I don't know
like oh I have a website yeah I should plug that
yeah
Look,
yeah.
should have been the first thing.
Chris, we're artists, we're not marketers.
No, that's for fucking sure. I have a TikTok because, you know, that does still exist.
Oh, yeah.
I have some great Procreate tutorials if you want to go learn how to use Procreate on the old iPad. But those are, that's how I trick people on the internet into looking at my art because no one
you
cares
have to do
about
now.
Art.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they love tutorials.
You got to make
so
content.
That's how I've tricked people into looking at my artwork. So, yeah. That's at Joby. What's my TikTok
Joby.
Handle? I don't even know.
I'll try
probably,
and remember to tag you when I post this
yeah,
on TikTok.
Yeah, I'm sure it's joliemarshall.art, L-E-I-G-H. Yeah, I'm sure that's it.
Follow. Can you change it to XE Crabble?
Yeah.
EXE
Crabble. And you can follow us below grade level on TikTok and Instagram, and you can follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook. And you can find this podcast wherever you find podcasts. Chris.
Yes.
What's up? What do you have to plug, Chris?
Hi.
Is it another show that we do?
What I have to plug is my art, which is talking funny into a microphone. Okay. And it's called The Sketchy Show. Wherever you get your podcasts, it's me, Woo! Jonathan, and returning champion to this show, John Walker, mm-hmm. where we improvise sketches, comedy sketches, with really, really dumb premises. And they always go dark. Yeah. And if that's something that you might be into, check it out.
Yeah, by the time this episode comes out, actually, we will have the first new sketchy show in a while is out. And
I just was acknowledging Dusty.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
It looks very cute.
You were doing the thing with your hands that was like, just, give me something, and I was like,
yeah,
the cat?
Give me Dusty. Oh. Give me attention from Dusty.
First new sketchy show of 2025 is out, so if you want to hear things like a jack-o'-lantern carving contest judges,
that's a
or
good one.
Dick Albuquerque's investigating of a werewolf, or
that's also
a good one. Or the Scarisburg evening news.
Of, a town where literally every Goosebumps book Goosebumps happens.
Or a commercial for Bug Fighters. So
that was a good one. John played me that.
Yeah. I was like, this one's short. Becca will like it. So check out the sketchy show. And the other thing that I would like to plug, by the time this comes out, will be the last two episodes of the first season of Casting Dreams, which is my Dreamcast podcast that I do with my friend Patrick Anderson. We took a little break, and then we finished up the first season by talking about two incredible Dreamcast games, Jet Grind Radio and D2. So if you are into retro gaming and you like Dreamcast shit and you want to hear an elder millennial and a Gen Xer talk about video games, check out Casting Dreams. We have a lot of fun going deep into these games, and we're going to do another season later this year, probably. Well, that's it for tonight's episode. I keep saying tonight because that's when we record these, but you know, you might be listening to this at 5 in the morning.
They're not listening live?
To work.
Wait. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Did we forget to stream to our live audience?
I forgot to stream this.
Fuck!
Oh, no! Tune in next time to see what
There's another cat!
Shenanigans
waking up.
Gaia gets up to in New York City. We love you. Bye.
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 Below Grade Level is a Cactus Radio production. You can contact us at podcast@cactusrodeo.com. Subscribe and follow on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. And follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more entertainment and updates.